This is a previously recorded broadcast.
But what are the consequences of believing that the church has replaced Israel in the plan of God, that the church has superseded Israel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming your way live from Dallas, Texas, tonight after the show, or this afternoon after the show, scheduled to drive to Tyler, Texas, and speak at a banquet for the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute. I'm doing some teaching for them this week after the show yesterday, recorded 4 hours of lectures, and that's the schedule for Friday as well, God willing. But radio comes first, so here we are, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We are really going to get into some eye-opening stuff today. We're going to look at the scriptures, what the word teaches about the church and Israel. We'll look at some controversial passages that have been used to say that God's promises to Israel have now been transferred over to the church or are fulfilled in Jesus and therefore are only available to those in him. And Jews who do not believe are outside of those promises on every level. We'll look at that. We'll connect with one of my colleagues in Israel to discuss this as well. Play some clips for you from the Christ at the Checkpoint conference that took place less than 2 weeks ago in Bethlehem. And take your Jewish-related calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Now, if you personally believe that modern Israel today is not a fulfillment of prophecy in any sense of the word, or if you believe that there are no more national promises that remain for the Jewish people, even outside of the land, a future promise of salvation or anything like that, I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your reasons why. 866-34-TRUTH. Also, I'll be playing some clips from Dr. Gary Burge. That's as far as we can go, playing clips from him or reading quotes from his writings, because he has politely declined invitations to debate me or dialogue with me either at his home university at Wheaton, or on another station where he was asked on Moody Bible Radio, Moody Radio, he was asked to have a dialogue debate with me about this and politely declined. So, Dr. Burge, I'd really love to have public dialogue. I'd love for us to sit down in a structured debate format with several hours to present our views and probe one another. I trust you would do it in a godly spirit. I assure you I would. I think it would be of great benefit to the body. I can understand if you didn't want to come onto my radio show to do it, but certainly in a university setting, we could have a high-level debate, dialogue, discussion that could then be videotaped and sent out to many so that they could explore these issues together. Why not, sir? It is an open, friendly, non-hostile invitation. Before we get into our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday subject matter, I do have a few things to say on a different subject. As more and more folks in Peru are hearing about my talk to congressional leaders and university chancellors last week, as expected, the reaction is quite hostile. Now, one gentleman from Peru who called me a monster yesterday did say this. I know we could go on and on with this, and I'm sure we both got better things to do, so let me finish saying that I'm sorry I called you a monster in the first place. That was not a nice thing to say to anyone. Nevertheless, I really think you're doing wrong with a smile. So, of course, I gladly accepted his apology and continued to interact with him. Another gal was not so happy. She wrote this: "You are not welcome in our country, multiple exclamation points. Only murderers and corrupt politicians follow you, multiple exclamation points. Have you heard what Pope Francisco said about gays?" Of course, he didn't change the church's view on homosexual practice. And you know that anti-gays are really frustrated gays. What? You know, it still boggles my mind that people can't address issues as issues, that they have to accuse a heterosexual of being a closeted homosexual in order to prove their point. I guess that makes this woman, then, a frustrated fundamentalist Bible believer, and on and on. She knows that I will be punished for all the bad things I'm doing in lots of countries. Listen, we didn't expect to be applauded by those hostile to us for standing up for what's right. A couple other interesting things we come back, and then a guest from Israel.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This conflict, this occupation is really destroying the Israeli soul, because deep down in Israeli thinking, Israeli Jewish consciousness, really, there is a profound commitment for justice.
When Bethlehem is oppressed, when Bethlehem is discriminated, I believe its message is oppressed. Its message is discriminated.
Yes, that was some of the promo for this year's Christ at the Checkpoint conference in Bethlehem. And the first voice you heard was that of Dr. Gary Burge, whom I just mentioned. I've not been able to go through his talk yet, but my guest Ron Cantor has gone through it carefully, and we'll be talking about that in a little while. 866-34-TRUTH. I welcome you to call if you have a different point of view. Just two other things, not thoroughly Jewish related, very quickly. I appreciate this being done. I mentioned it somewhat jokingly the other day, but Bill Donahue, who is the president of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights, has filed an application to march in the New York City Gay Pride Parade this year. He's boycotting the makers of Guinness Stout, Sam Adams, and Heineken beers after they bowed to gay rights groups and dropped their support for New York's St. Patrick's Day Parade. He says he wants to prove a point. He said, I went to the managing director of the Heritage of Pride Parade and said, listen, I want to march under my own banner. Straight is great. In the 2014 Heritage of Pride Parade, do you agree? Are they going to let me do it or not? I'm waiting to see what they want to say. Very interesting, and well done, Bill Donahue. I absolutely agree with that approach. If it's a matter of equality for all, let's test it then. And Pastor John MacArthur has announced that he'll be holding an inerrancy conference. In an article in the Christian Post said to him, you took a lot of jabs for criticizing the charismatic movement Pentecostal Christians during the release of your book Strange Fire during your conference of the same name. Can you frame your arguments in terms of how you see this ongoing discussion, both from what you see as their case and yours? And he said, you're right, the book and the conference certainly provoked a lot of criticism, but the strong response was welcome since the intention was to force biblical thinking on this issue. Of course, Dr. MacArthur, with all respect, there are better ways to provoke biblical thinking than to be inflammatory and divisive and even inaccurate in public comments, which, once again, I urge you to correct and fix as you move forward. But he says this, going forward, our desire is to hold this vast movement up to the pure light of Scripture to reveal its errors. Sir, how about holding it up to the light of Scriptures and revealing its strengths? How about holding it up to the light of Scripture and revealing what God is doing and rejoicing along with revealing errors, as I would hope you would do in your own movement as well? All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Yes, yes. Thanks, Matt, for pointing that out. The Christ at the Checkpoint promo did not have the Hava Nagila music. That was our thoroughly Jewish Thursday Israeli sound leading into Christ at the Checkpoint. My guest, Ron Cantor, friend for decades, co-worker for many, many years, living in Israel now for years with his wife and children, and working with Maoz, his website, Ron Cantor, that's TORRonCantor.com. Hey, Ron, great to have you on the air today.
Thanks, Mike. You know, I was thinking that maybe in the next Christ for the Checkpoint, they may want to use that music because they have requested more Messianic Jewish involvement. I think they'd be open to it.
Yeah, I do appreciate the fact that there were different Messianic Jews who spoke, and a couple of years ago, a Messianic leader, Messianic Gentile leader in Israel, spoke as well. First, Ron, overall, what are you hearing from your friends in Israel, or for folks like Dan Jester and Oded Shoshani, Messianic Jewish leaders in Israel, from their participation in the conference? What are you hearing overall?
You know, it's mixed, because as Messianic Jews, the whole idea of a conference called Christ at the Checkpoint, it conjures up images that are, in my opinion, dishonest, that the it's the idea of Joseph and Mary coming to Bethlehem, trying to get into the city, but not being able to because of a checkpoint. Of course, in truth, they're Jewish, And sadly, Jews can't go to Bethlehem, at least Israeli Jews. I cannot
go to Bethlehem. Wait, you can't go in? You're kept out?
No. If I wanted to go to Bethlehem tomorrow, I would have to apply for special permission. It's out of, for my own safety. They don't want me to get hurt because it's become a more and more Muslim city. It used to be a Christian city. And believe it or not, this is going to be a revelation. Before that, it was a Jewish city about 2,000 years ago. But no, today I cannot go in without getting special permission.
All right, but that's from the Israeli side because of the atmosphere, the hostility on the other side.
Right. So Joseph and Mary wouldn't be able to get in because of the checkpoints. The imagery is of a massive wall. And, of course, the idea that there is a wall of China or a Berlin Wall in Israel is erroneous. If you Google security fence Israel, you will almost always find pictures of an 8-meter or 25-foot wall. But in truth, that is only in areas where Palestinian snipers were killing Israeli drivers on the road. 97% of that wall is actually a mesh fence. And but they don't. You never see the images of the fence. It's always a wall. And we've had conversations about that. And because of all this, Dr. Brown, there is a little bit of distrust. But I have to say this year, I'm speaking for myself. I want to be real clear, because the Messianic Jewish community here is diverse. There was many different opinions on this. And I have to say I'm a little bit more trusting than I was a few weeks ago. When the conference started, a video was put out that I felt was extremely manipulative. It invited people to come and study the scriptures at the wall, at the checkpoint. I responded by saying, well, what if we as Jews said, let's go and study the scriptures near the ashes of Auschwitz? Both would be manipulative because we don't determine our interpretation of scripture through deep wound and emotion. And Dan Juster shared this in his talk. He said, we have to get healed first, Jew and Gentile, Jew and Palestinian. We have to be healed emotionally before we can come to interpretation about these deep issues. It's not through deep woundedness that we find revelation. It's we get healed through Yeshua, and then we find revelation.
All right, so let's first speak about the positive things that took place at the conference, because obviously we're going to differ very strongly with a number of things that were spoken and overall sympathies that were put forward. And, of course, each morning there was the opportunity to go to, quote, the checkpoint and to see what it felt like. And I don't know if they, when the tours were given, if they said, okay, now we want you to know that this wall is put up here to keep murderers out of Israel, to keep Muslim terrorists out of Israel.
No, they don't.
Okay, so give me whatever you can. We've got a couple of minutes in this segment. Give me whatever you can that was positive about the conference or that is causing you to be a little bit more trusting than you were before.
Okay, here's what was positive. Number one, Oded Shoshani, who is an Israeli, native-born Israeli messianic leader here in Israel, leads a vibrant Hebrew-speaking congregation in Jerusalem, was invited to give about a 15-20-minute message. Most of the messages were short, and he brought a very strong message. I would encourage people to go to their Vimeo site and watch Oded's message. In fact, you can go to if you go to roncantor.com, we have it up there. But he was very straightforward, and he made a point that needs to keep being echoed, and it was this. If in 1948, the Arabs accepted the United Nations' suggestion of a partitioning the land of Israel into an Arab country and a Jewish country, there'd be no war, there'd be no occupation, there'd be no refugee issue, that there would be peace. But instead of peace, which we offered, you can read the statements from David Ben-Gurion and Chaim Weizmann and the leaders of Israel saying, we want peace with you. They said no to peace, yes to war, yes to genocide. The goal was genocide, to kill every Jew in the land of Israel. Now, unfortunately for them, we won the War of Independence. We became a nation. But Oded, with compassion, without underestimating the pain of the Palestinian people, the suffering that they have gone through, there have been definitely things done to them from Israel, most in the name of security. Of course, there's tremendous suffering of being under the Palestinian Authority as a Christian Arab, or under Hamas as a Christian. So Oded was very powerful. Dan Juster taught Messianic Jewish theology. He actually did not date Gary Burge. He debated Gary Burge and over the issue of replacement theology. And Dan made a very passionate argument for Messianic Jewish theology, where we, God forbid, we do value non-Jews.
I tell you what, I'm just going to jump in, Ron. We'll be right back. And, Ron, maybe we'll get to talk to a caller who feels that America is part of the House of Israel. Stay here. A whole lot to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Come on over, Anino, and Kadosh.
Thanks for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. My thoroughly Jewish guest from Israel, Ron Kantor. Ron, obviously, you can expand a little bit more about positive things at the conference, and I'm glad that there's more dialogue. I'm glad that there is a desire to bring more Messianic Jews into the interaction. And certainly, where there's injustice on any side, where Israel's guilty of injustice against Palestinians, where Israel's guilty of harsh measures that ought not to be taken, then we need to renounce that. Believing that God has brought our people back to the land, or believing that the church has not replaced Israel, does not give Israel any type of carte blanche. And you and I would be the first to criticize our people for, look, the fact that we say they're lost without Yeshua is a pretty heavy thing to say. But Ron, on the flip side now, what concerns you the most? Obviously, God is in control and he is Lord. Nonetheless, human beings make decisions and choices, and those decisions and choices have great impact. What concerns you most about what was said at the conference, or the overall spirit and approach of the conference?
Well, I didn't watch every, I wasn't at the conference. I live in Tel Aviv. It was in Bethlehem. I watched part of it online, so I didn't see every message, but there were many messages that were very anti-Zionist, anti-Israel. It would seem that the overall feeling is that the primary reason that Palestinian Christians suffer is because of Israel. There was no real mention of the murderous nature of Hamas, who has been known to just grab kids off the street for having something like gel in their hair or wearing jeans, and then being beaten and returned home later unable to walk.
Hamas is not in Bethlehem. What about Palestinian Authority? Well, what about issues like that?
The Palestinian Authority is one of the most corrupt governments in the world.
And that was addressed publicly, right?
No, I don't think so. Again, I didn't. It certainly wasn't 2 years ago. I haven't gone through all of it this year.
I don't think it could be.
I did challenge them on that. The fact of the matter is that Arafat died with $900 million U.S. dollars. Now, he was not a businessman, but that's how much money he had in his bank account, and that was money that he built from the Palestinian people. And that type of thing has been documented as normal within the Palestinian, that is why, by the way, the average Palestinian in 2005, 2006 voted for Hamas, a terrorist organization, over the Palestinian Authority. It wasn't that they wanted Hamas, it was that they didn't trust the Palestinian Authority anymore because of corruption. Now, another thing that really concerned me is the embracement of replacement theology, which is now called fulfillment theology. I am doing right now, posting every day on my website. You saw the tome that I sent you. I meant to write a very short critique of Dr. Gary Berg's address on replacement theology, and it ended up being over 7,000 words. So we're posting a little bit each day at ronkantor.com. Folks can go there now and begin to read. The first three segments are up. But I was concerned about his theology. I have to say that he is a very likable guy, at least from what I saw on the at the conference. He presented his material with humility. He did not come across as arrogant, but still, at the end of the day, there are huge problems with his new fulfillment theology, and largely is that he cuts out the entire Old Testament in terms of the promises of God made to Israel. And it just doesn't hold up under normal exegesis.
Right. So we will, Ron, in the coming segments, talk about some of the exegetical issues. And I do want to take some calls as well. But very quickly, you've had some interesting interaction with Dr. Stephen Sizer. He had never responded to invitations to come onto my radio program, but he did agree to have a debate with me on Moody Radio. It's on my website. If you go to latest YouTube videos, you'll find it there. But he agreed to dialogue with me on how Christian is Christian Zionism. And I quoted him on saying that there are Christians in the land who believe in, quote, the occupation, or that these parts of the land belong to Israel. And that he said it's a denial of Jesus, and they're an abomination. When I
right.
gave him the quote, he said he never said it. And then when I told him where it was, I gave him the details and quoted it. He said, okay, I'm comfortable with that. That's led to some interesting interaction between the two of you, hasn't it?
Well, we've actually been interacting for about 2 years on and off. I confronted him over that statement about 2 years ago, and he did eventually apologize for it. So the very statement that he said he's comfortable with, in the past, because of pressure from Messianic Jewish bloggers, there's a group out there called the Rosh Pinna Report that has taken him to task for many of the things that he has said. And he finally did apologize, but he seemed to, if you can read it in his blog, it seemed that he was like, gosh, I'll apologize because these people keep bothering me about this. But I've confronted him on many different issues. He has a blog where he quotes another blogger saying what a wonderful blog it is, and in that it calls the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, the Israeli terrorist organization. Of course, that would make all three of my daughters hardened terrorists. The list goes on. He put a paper out regarding the Jerusalem, whose land is Jerusalem, according to the Bible. And he comes to the conclusion that it equally belongs to Jews, Christians, and are you ready for this? Muslims. An evangelical, it's one thing to reach out to Muslims, to love Muslims, but to say that Islam, that has caused so much bloodshed in the past, 50, 60 years around the world, has a claim to Jerusalem? So these are the things I've confronted him on, and he, at first we had kind dialogue, but
it's changed a bit. All right, stay right there, Ron. Folks, you got to hear what was said to my friend of many years, of decades, Ron Cantor. I think you'll find this interesting as we pray for Dr. Sizer to come into the fullness of God's love and truth. Hey, pray the same thing for me and for Ron. Friends, what we're doing is playing a key role, being on the radio and talking about these issues and equipping the body to answer objections and questions and helping to reach out to the lost sheep of the House of Israel with massive expansion on our Jewish website underway right now. But this is a joint effort. This is a team effort. And Paul explicitly says in Romans 15 to the Gentile believers that if they have been helped spiritually, partaken in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they should then help Jewish believers, especially in the land, financially. So without shame, I encourage you to stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with us on the front lines. Be part of our team. For your gift of any size, just we're asking you to be as generous as you can. Your one-time gift of any size, I want to send you a signed copy of the hardcover Real Kosher Jesus book with postage of $30 value. I want to sign it and send it to you with Romans 11:26 inscribed that all Israel will be saved, so that you know what you're sowing into, the salvation of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is by phone only, so call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Your generous one-time gift. I want to send this out. 1-800-278-9978. This is a previously recorded broadcast.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, 866-34-TRUTH, joined by my friend Ron Cantor from Israel. And we're talking about the issue of replacement theology. We're talking about the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference, appreciating the good and being concerned about the bad and the misleading notions that are going to many evangelical leaders. Listen, all we want is truth. All we want is the truth of God's word and the truth of what's happening in the Middle East. Stephen Sazer on his Facebook page said this: the state of Israel and contemporary Christian Zionism is predicated on the explicit use of religious motifs in order to mobilize political propaganda and agitate the feelings of the faithful through the manipulation of religion. That is why I wrote 7 Biblical Answers to Popular Zionist Assumptions to debunk their abuse of the Bible. Someone reached out to Stephen Sazer regarding statements he had made about my friend Ron Cantor, and he said this: sorry, but Ron Cantor does not demonstrate sufficient evidence of being a Christ follower to motivate me or want to have fellowship with him. We are commanded in the Bible, warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. Titus 3, 2 Peter 2, of them the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Speaking of my buddy Ron, Ron, were you surprised to see that level of rhetoric from an Anglican vicar?
No, you weren't. Not at all. No, because in my communications with Dr. Sizer, I have always focused on the issues, what he has said, who he has met with, what he has done. He meets with radical Muslims in Iran. He trashes Israel to Muslims and to Arabs. He is an opponent of Zionism, and I have confronted him not on his personhood, not on his faith in the Messiah, but on issues, real issues, and asked him, do you really believe this, and how can you justify it? And he always responds in a personal way. So I'm not a believer. I'm a divisive person. By the way, he's never warned me once or a second time. And both of those scriptures, by the way, the one where it refers to a dog and a pig in 2 Peter 2:22 and the following verses, and then Titus 3:2, those are talking about really bad people in the congregation that are causing division. But I do have to say, somebody in Bethlehem approached Dr. Sizer over the past few days and said, you really should talk to Ron Cantor. Not that I was begging to have a meeting with him, but he then, I was contacted and said he wanted to meet with me. And we were scheduled to meet at the airport, at Ben Gurion Airport on Saturday, but he canceled at the last minute due to the fact that being in the airport, the stress of traveling. And I get that. I'm not going to blame him for that. It wasn't a great meeting area. So maybe future we'll meet.
Yeah, hopefully it'll happen. And listen, the best thing to do is to overcome the rhetoric and the hostile talk with truth and with love. The problem, of course, though, is that it's not a personal issue. Dr. Sizer and others have influence over a great number of people. And just as it's taken years and years and years and years and years for Israelis and the Jewish community to take evangelical Christian support seriously, because they've wondered, well, is this just some setup for prophecy, or is this just something where, you know, little by little, they're trying to set us up to proselytize. They finally realized that evangelical Christian love is genuine, whether Jews mm-hmm. follow Jesus or not. Now so much of it is getting undone. Is this having a ripple effect in the larger Israeli community?
I think there's concern. I'm reading the Times of Israel.com, Jerusalem Post. I think the Israeli government is concerned about losing evangelical support. We have no friends. We have no... And if you look at what's happening in America, America's never been weaker. There's real concern.
Got it. All right. We'll come back, look at some scripture, take some calls. By the way, Dr. Sizer appears regularly on Press TV, which is Iran's state TV television network, broadcasting in England around the clock. Fascinating.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Ron Cantor, my guest from Israel. Go to his website, roncantor.com, C-A-N-T-O-R.com. You want to subscribe to his posts, his blogs. He's got great reports from Israel. He's got great personal stories. He's got videos. It's really, really a great place to go and be connected. Ron, I want to go to the phones in a moment, but first, let's get your reaction to a clip. I want to go to clip number 5, Joey. This is Manfred Kohl. He is speaking at the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference in 2014, so just about 2 weeks ago. So let's listen to what Manfred Kohl has to say.
In Paul's Christology, the land, like the law, becomes irrelevant. To be in Christ means to be part of a worldwide community. God rules over the promised land is now extended through Christ to the whole world, and his true people is a worldwide community, not an ethnic group associated with a particular land.
All right, Ron, what do you think? What's your immediate reaction to that statement?
Oh, it sounds beautiful. It really sounds beautiful. It's just not biblical. The idea that Israel is no longer called in the New Testament is 100% refutable by the New Testament. In fact, in Dr. Burge's talk, he shared, and this is what is the new fulfillment theology. No longer is it one people in Israel, it's the whole world. And Dr. Burge reads Acts chapter 1:6, which says, "Then they, the disciples, gathered around Yeshua and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Now, he stops right there and doesn't keep reading verse 7. He adds, quote, I'm quoting Burge now, "They have it exactly wrong. Or as Calvin said, this question has as many problems as it has words," at which people laugh. The problem is they didn't read the very next verse.
Yep.
And I have heard preachers for years mock the disciples as being slow-minded, as being stupid. They still didn't get it. But Yeshua does not rebuke them. He says, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father set by his own authority." In other words, yes, God will restore the kingdom to Israel, but don't worry about it. It's God's business. You go get filled with the Holy Spirit, preach the gospel. Now, the issue is this, is they preach an either-or theology. Either God's promises are with Israel, which means everyone else is second class, or God is not favoring Israel any longer. There is no special calling, even though Romans 11:29 says the gifts and callings of God to Israel are irrevocable, and everything is now to the church. I say it's both. The church, the Gentile believers of the nations, are welcomed in to the household of God, to the olive tree. They become co-heirs with Israel, not instead of Israel.
Right. So, again, the either-or choice is not one to make. The idea that this is now just a matter of ethnicity or racism is not the issue. It's an issue of God keeping his promise. Ron, my last article on Israel, folks, if you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on latest article, you'll find it 2 down, my second latest article. It's called The Deadly Anti-Israel Theology. And I note what John Calvin said, quoting from Dr. Paul Wilkinson's book, Understanding Christian Zionism. Calvin stated that there was many errors, his words, in the disciples' question concerning Israel's restoration. This, he believed, showed, quote, how bad scholars they were under so good a master, and therefore when Jesus saith, "You shall receive power," he admonisheth them of their imbecility. And Mitri Rahab, whom Dr. Wilkinson also quotes, at the 5th International Sabeel Conference in 2004, this is the anti-Zionist conference, said the disciples were very narrow-minded, nationalistic, and blinded for asking such a question. So after 40 days with Yeshua after his resurrection, and they say, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And they say, the normal way that people have read this, or I should say the anti-Zionist way, is as if Jesus said, "You idiots, don't you know that I'm through with Israel? Don't you know the church has replaced Israel? Have I been with you so long you still don't get it?" So let's phrase this differently. Let's say Yeshua is about to ascend to heaven, and the disciples say, Lord, is this the time for us to take up our swords and behead our enemies? And he goes, no, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father said. You just go preach. No, he would have said, he wouldn't have said it's not for you to know the time for beheading that the Father has determined. So, of course, his answer is saying, great question, is just not for you to know now. And then further in Acts, Peter says in Acts, the third chapter, that Yeshua will remain in heaven until God fulfills everything, the times of restoration that the prophets spoke of. So what about the issue, though? And I want to ask this, and then I want to take a couple of phone calls. What about the issue that the promise to return to the land is dependent on repentance, that we were scattered under judgment, the judgment under the Assyrians, the judgment under the Babylonians 2,700 years ago, 2,500 years ago, and we were scattered in judgment, and God has promised to bring us back to the land in repentance. So if, in fact, there was mass repentance and we were brought back, maybe some of these Christian leaders would see things differently, and yet it's been a return that was based in unbelief rather than repentance.
Right. Well, the original Zionists were mostly socialists and atheists, and the rabbis were against Zionism. But again, let's go to the Bible. It doesn't really matter what I think. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24, I will bring you back from all the countries where I scattered you into your own land. Then in verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean, and goes on to give the great promises about getting a new heart and a new spirit. So it seems that the revival comes after Israel comes back to the land. And we have seen that. In 1948, there were 25 Jewish believers in Israel. Now there's between 15 and 20,000. Listen, there's 7 million Jews here, so our work is cut out for us. But from 25 to nearly 20,000, thank God. Now, also, I'd mention Romans 1, Romans 3. What advantage is there in being a Jew, or is there any profit in circumcision?
So he's talking about a physical Jew.
Yes, he's talking to. He had already talked about the Gentiles in chapter 2 not needing to be circumcised, but he says, what about the Jew? Is there any profit in this? He says, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe, he asked the question rhetorically, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. What Paul is saying here is that even in unbelief, God will remain truthful to his promises to Israel to the end because of God's goodness, not because of our faithfulness.
Right. And Ron, you raise a great point, and your use of Romans 3 is very important because it follows a discussion as who is a real Jew at the end of Romans 2. And that could be misunderstood as if Paul's saying the promises don't apply to Jewish people as
right.
a whole. Obviously, we only find salvation in Yeshua. We understand that, which is the greatest, biggest issue of all. But Dr. Burns does believe that there's a future for the Jewish people. His issue is with the land. He does say that there is a future salvation or some future based on Romans 11. That means that God has to be keeping us and preserving us even in our unbelief. All right, let's take some calls here. Let's go to Boston, Massachusetts. John, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
I'm the one who wanted to say that America is part of the House of Israel, because they indeed are.
All right, could you explain that?
Well, yes. The Jews are from the tribe of Judah, which is, because Jew is a nickname for Judah. That's just one of the 12 tribes. You mentioned the lost house, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Christ was referring to the other tribes of Israel.
Okay, so what's that got to do with America?
Well, America is one of those tribes. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
Ephraim is Britain, and Manasseh is America.
And how do you know that?
Well, I've learned all this from. I mentioned this to your producer. He said he's never heard of them. I've learned all this from the Philadelphia Church of God. Are you familiar with them?
Well, only a little bit. I'm familiar with the teaching. Can I tell you what, John?
Yes.
DNA actually refutes that. DNA has proven long ago that these claims are completely false. So,
what exactly do you mean by DNA?
DNA, that you can test the ethnic origins of people through the centuries. You can see where people descend from, what people groups they where they come from. So, for example, the claim of the Mormons about Native Americans, or the claim of the Mormons that somehow original the original tribal people here in the land, or those who came here, were ancient Israelites, so that there are inscriptions to back that up. In point of fact, DNA, so when you actually test the origins, demonstrated conclusively that that was not the case. So, John, I'd really encourage you, with all respect, you seem like a sincere guy, to learn from someone other than them. Thanks for the call, John. By the way, we are going to have a show about Black Hebrews or Black Hebrew Israelites in the coming Thursday, so stay tuned.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. By the way, I posted a very important announcement for our Line of Fire listeners. If you're listening to me on radio, you really want to go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest blog. Unless you originally got my email today, then please go online and listen. Please read the blog. It's a very important announcement. Ron, let's focus on one particular verse, which is constantly used by those who say that there are no national promises for the Jewish people, or who would argue that, yes, there are national promises, but they are all subsumed in Yeshua. And it's Galatians, the third chapter. I plan on getting into this a bit more in the second hour as well. And folks, go to roncantor.com, C-N-T-O-R, as Ron has been writing about this very important, lengthy article he has that deals with some of these issues. So Paul says this about the promise to the seed, Romans 3:16. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ, that is Messiah. So this is then taken to say that there are no promises to the Jewish people as a whole, or to the nation of Israel. The promises to the seed of Abraham are all to Yeshua, so that they are all fulfilled in him and not outside of him. What's wrong with that interpretation? And if we just take Paul straightforwardly, what would be wrong with what Paul was saying?
Well, as Dan Jester said in his talk the other day, you can't read Galatians without the Old Covenant. You can't read the New Testament without the Old Testament. In fact, much of the New Testament is a commentary on the Old Testament, or Paul giving a fulfillment of the Old Testament. So to take that one passage, Galatians 3:16, as if it's floating out in outer space and not connected to Romans. Let's forget the Old Testament, not even connected to Romans, where God says, "Have I rejected Israel? By no means." Where God says the call to Israel is irrevocable, where he says, even in unbelief, I'll be faithful to my promises to Israel, as we refer to in Romans 3. So to take Galatians 3:16 by itself, it does seem like it's saying that. But if you're going to use the rest of the scripture to interpret it, then we have to ask ourselves, first of all, we have to say this, is the burden is not on me to say why Galatians 3:16 invalidates the rest of the Bible. The burden would be on people like Dr. Burge and Dr. Sizer to explain how one verse suddenly invalidates hundreds and hundreds of promises to Israel. And I don't think they've done that. Now, in my studies on this passage, and I've consulted with you and other people that I consider scholars, Joe Shalom, Dan Jester, others, there seems to be agreement that Paul is speaking in what's called a midrashic hermeneutic, or a Jewish way of interpreting the scripture, which is where the prophecies are not necessarily, for instance, Daniel, help me out, Dr. Brown.
Spit it out, Ron. I tell you what, I'm going to jump in.
abomination that causes desolation.
And Dan, you're right. That prophecy can unfold. That many times there's an immediate application. There's a long-term application. So God speaks about the Jewish people returning from Babylonian captivity, and part of it happens with the return then. Part of it is still unfolding. It's same with the coming of the Messiah. Many of these prophecies are spoken of as one, and yet they've been fulfilled in stages with a first coming and then a period of centuries and millennia, then a second coming. But, you know, when we talk about Midrash, on a certain level, it's good preaching. In other words, it's making a point using a text as a preacher might. And it's understood that he's not saying this is the primary meaning of the text, but here's an application. So we know first that Zerah, the word seed, just like in English, just like I think you use examples like fish and deer, can have a you don't say fish, you know, deers, you can, but, you know, herd of deer, a school of fish. So if you said Zra'im, seeds, plural, that would be talking only about physical seeds planted in the ground. When you say seed, Zerah, in Hebrew, you're talking individually or you're talking corporately, nationally. And we know it because the pronouns are plural, and then the details are plural about the numbers of your seed. And that's how Paul uses it at the end of the chapter. If you belong to Messiah, you are Abraham's seed, plural. So he's making a homiletical point. And the real challenge for scholars is to try to understand what Paul's saying, because it seems to contradict what the Hebrew is saying. And people said he didn't even understand Hebrew. No, he did. And he was making a homiletical point. It's bizarre now that's used, as you say, to undermine everything else. Hey, listen, Ron, we're short on time, but if folks go to your blog, to your website, just give a picture of what you're posting on a regular basis there.
Well, the good thing about blogging is that if I'm at a loss for words, I have time to think about what I want to say. Basically, this is what we talk about. We talk about Israel. We confront things like replacement theology. We have videos. I think it's very informative, I hope.
It's enjoyable. Go ahead.
If they sign up for my newsletter, they will get a free ebook in their email called Messianic Jews, the Most Hated People on Earth, and I hope that'll bless them.
Oh, also, by the way, and we need to get this and frame it, put it on YouTube. Ron Cantor at a loss for words. For either of us to be at a loss for words, that's a notable moment. We have to tell our wives about that. But Ron, your book, Identity Theft, people are loving the book. Go to Amazon, friends, order a copy. It's written in a storybook way that's really eye-opening and will help you to see how there's been a stolen identity, and we don't mean Ron Cantor's. Hey, great to talk with you, as always. More on the issue of replacement theology, where Ron is not at a loss for words, he opens us up with great interaction with Dr. Bird, Ron Cantor, cantor.com, and that'll take you to his Messiah's Mandate website. Love to all, man. Thanks for joining us today.
Likewise. Blessings.
I cut you off. Sorry. Happy anniversary. What about happy birthday? Were you going to say happy birthday also? I hope so. All right. Love you, man. Thanks for joining us. Friends, if you appreciate the work we're doing, we do need to hear from you in a tangible way. You know, it's one thing to say, Mike, we're so blessed by your work. It's another thing to say, we're blessed and we want to help you do what you are doing. So the best way to do it is to pray for us, to spread the word about what we're doing, and to help us with your financial gifts. Your one-time gift today, a one-time gift of support, we're just asking you to be as generous as you can. Our ministry alone has the hardcover edition of The Real Kosher Jesus. It's a $25 book plus postage. So be as generous as you can. Sow into Jewish work, Jewish ministry today, and I'll send you a signed copy of the book. Call right now. This is by phone only. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Some of you can be generous and help underwrite 50 or 100 people getting books today. So do what you can. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the only reason the Jewish people exist on the earth is because God has kept his promises to us even when we were in unbelief. That tells you something about our God.